I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 39. Well, unfortunately, Christian, I know NASCAR is over, but I am happy to present to you the number 39 U.S. Army Stuart Haas Racing 2013 Chevy Impala of the Rocket, Ryan Newman.
All right, that's a good one.
I'll go with Ryan Newman. If it was Ryan Newman and or Tony Stewart, I'm all good. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyways, on tonight's episode, and it's Formula One. There is some news and notes, but Formula One, chaos. And then we'll get to news and notes.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. Las Vegas, Sin City. And a dramatic turn.
There were sins committed.
There was a sin committed on the start too.
Multiple sins.
Multiple sins. Well, one by the pole sitter.
Yeah.
And I will say this: I am not a David Coulthard fan, but he did hit it out of the park with his comment.
Yeah, that was a great line.
It was a great line, and Julian Palmer definitely agreed with him. So let's discuss. Max Verstappen wins the Las Vegas Grand Prix, his second out of three. Finishing second was George Russell, and finishing third from 17th position on the grid, won Kimi Antonelli. And
yeah.
For those of you out there who might ask, what happened to Team Papaya? Well, Team Papaya became Team Penske and disqualified both cars post-race tech. So, and before you McLaren lovers get on us, please note that the top 10 cars in the finishing order as the race finished are subject to this test, similar to what is done in IMSA. It is a legality check of the plank underneath the car, simply by rolling, it's a roller, underneath the chassis of the car to see if the skid plates are hitting. And if they don't hit, then they're like, ooh, all right, let's now pull the car out and we'll measure. And McLaren on both cars in three locations on each car was found out of compliance. Automatic DQ.
So is that how this one is? I thought they have to like measure the thickness of the plank.
They do. So what they do is they first thing they do is they take the roller and they put it on the car. Now you've seen that at an IMSA race,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they take that and they roll it underneath, okay? If it hits the roller, you know, if the roller goes in and gets stuck all the way through, there's no worry, okay? If it goes through, then it's like, all right, we got to look at this a little more. Because the roller may not be perfect, but the idea is that, you know, if it hits, okay. Mm. So then what they do is they then go and take, you know, they have to, whatever they got to do to measure the plank. And, you know, there was five or six locations they measured, but it's basically, once you're out of compliance at one, you're done.
Yeah.
This is exactly what happened to Lewis Hamilton earlier this year with Ferrari with Nico Hülkenberg.
Not just Lewis, Leclerc as well.
Oh, Leclerc. But the Hulk also had this happen.
Yes. Yeah. But
so this Lewis is not, this Lewis, is,
Lewis's DQ was at China, where both him and Leclerc were found at fault.
Right. So this is not uncommon. Secondly, I give McLaren credit. You know, they kind of, well, you know, they have the best run times this weekend, and that. My only comment to that is, well, the other cars that finished in the top 10 didn't have this problem. And the other cars in the top 10 didn't put on the fireworks display that the McLarens were putting on during the race. Now, I had to go back and rewatch the race again, Christian. I watched it once, and then I was like, all right. And then, everything was popping up, and I had to go back. And so I watched the race, and sure enough, the McLarens were sparking it up, like, constantly. So somebody was running low.
I mean, either that or they might have just missed on how they set the car up.
It's quite possible.
Because they could have gotten into Seidel's comments afterwards was that they had porpoising. An unusual amount of porpoising. So maybe the car just got into a window where it just fluttering up and down more often than they thought.
Before we recorded this, I did watch the watch and listen to the Unlap podcast on ESPN with Lawrence Edmondson and stuff, and his group, which includes Chris Madeline wasn't on, but the other guys were on, and they were talking about it. And one of the things they did note was that there were folks in the media center late in the race that were noticing how bad Piastri's car was porpoising. Because, like, apparently from his in-car camera, you get, like, his head was just going all over the place.
Yeah.
So, and then this also gets to the cryptic messages that were sent to Lando during the race, towards the end of the race, to kind of slow it way up. Basically, what they were trying to do was to mitigate any more potential plank wear, you know. And they were masquerading it as fuel issue, but it wasn't. It was definitely a plank. They can get there's readings off the car that they can tell where the ride height is, and they must have known. They must have saw the anomaly that was going on.
I'm sure it, but you know, regardless, like they made a mistake, and they cost both drivers the win. Or
now,
not even the win, just the finishing order that they had.
The finishing order and championship points is what they caused them. The win was costed by their lead driver, who, you know, tried to play Max's game on the opening stand into turn one and completely failed miserably, leaving the door wide open and Max sailing by and then off into the distance. And then giving an opening to George to secure second place.
Yeah, and for those of you who didn't hear Coulthard's comment, it was Norris tried to play Verstappen at his own game. The problem is that he doesn't know the rules of that game.
Meaning so. When you get to that position, you got to make the next corner, which Lando overshot by a mile. I didn't know if they had anything from Max's in-car with the audio at that point, but he must have laughed.
I'm sure he did. It's... you can just tell that Verstappen is still in everyone's head, even when he is not in a shout.
I know what you're saying.
He knows that he should not be in this championship.
Now he is.
So it's he's gone on this incredible run, and really the only driver that's done a more impressive stint across this season is Oscar. And it's only because Max is now on this tear of 8 races in a row where he's on the podium or finishing on the podium. Piastri did 8 as well earlier in the season, but that was only usurped by a 4th place finish at Canada, and that's I know that was the one race where him and Lando had it coming together, but still at that point the McLarens were not the fastest cars that weekend. It was Mercedes and then Verstappen. To then just say, you know, your string of podium finishes is broken up by a 4th place finish, that's not that all bad, because then the next 6 races afterwards, he continued to finish on the podium. So he had, you know, 15 races where he's in the top 4. Yeah. And I only say 4th because I have to include this one race. Everything else was on the podium. So right there is just your incredible amount of consistency. Now, he just has a longer slump these past 5 races that has really brought Lando right into the picture and now into the forefront of the championship.
Yeah.
Whereas Max, like, looking at his results over the season, I really don't know how he's in this fight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's 100%. Regardless. So if either of the McLaren drivers win the championship, okay, that's, you know, what's expected, that's what it should be, and, you know, whichever one it is, good for them. If Max wins this, I don't think the story is, wow, what an incredible comeback. It's, wow, how did McLaren blow this?
Yeah, if it comes to fruition, right?
Right. But we've been, what? It's been 3 months now since they've been back from the summer break, where Max kicked it off with a win when he came back, he finished 2nd and then followed up by 2 wins, but still outscoring both. Hold on. When did the Dutch Grand Prix take place? Anyways, you know what? Let me just rephrase this a different way.
Yeah, yeah.
Since coming back, he's just, you know, outpaced the McLarens and finished ahead of them for almost all the events until we hit Mexico and Brazil. But even that,
yep,
he's still, you know, there. And the conversation for the past 3 months is he's got an outside chance. Well, now it's like the stuff that's needing to happen for this 5% chance to win is happening. And whereas Max knows this whole, it's race by race for him. If he does it, it's great. If he doesn't, he's still got 4. So he's accomplished winning a title in F1. So like that's not a box he needs to tick off. Now it's just how many can he win? And
100%.
Whereas for the McLaren drivers, it's their first one. So they can sit there and say like, oh, well, I'm not thinking of it, but like they are, and it's showing. There's definitely no denying that. And it's, you know, however these guys conduct themselves in the next couple of races, like they'll sort it out and we'll see what happens. But odds are Lando's probably going to win it at this stage, given Piastri's recent form. I wouldn't be surprised in that. And also, if you went into this season saying that McLaren had the best car on the grid, I think you would probably pick Lando to win the championship.
No, 100%.
Not to discredit Oscar at all. He's definitely put up a great season. He's just had a couple of rough past few races. So, and it stinks, but you know, this is how the championship goes. Or I'm sorry, how a championship can go sometimes. So, I'm pulling for Max to win because I think it would be really funny, to see McLaren just fumble this one. And it's not to say that I don't ever want to see Lando or Piastri not win a championship.
You can't, in such a superior car,
you cannot throw this away, because that stings more than anything.
Well, and that's what everyone's, you know, basically seeing is talking about here, and Zach, you know, just doesn't want to, you know, see it that way. You know, it's like, dude, you had a commanding lead. You know, Piastri had a commanding lead. Okay, it's like at that point in the season, you got to go, okay, well, I think it's time to, you know, this guy's going to be our championship guy on merit. They didn't do that, and his so-called papaya rules kick in, and you know, they start moving the goalposts all over the place. We've seen it a couple times, and what happens? Here they are.
Yeah.
They're, you know, potentially on the verge of blowing this. Like, not the manufacturer's title. That's already wrapped up. But yeah, Actually blowing the driver's championship.
Well, and I mean, you can even use the constructor's title to make your point even further. Like, they are near double Mercedes in points.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And they haven't wrapped this title up. Like, that's right. that's what's so insane with this, because they just they're not able to close it down yet. To then get back to that, my point of how if McLaren loses the championship, I say that they will have the title, or the headline will be, how did McLaren blow this? And I can tell you exactly, because it's Canada, they have a run-in. And if you tell your drivers not to touch each other, that doesn't happen.
Yep.
So even considering how the rest of these races, like assuming everything has played out the way it has, but you take, you know, the one or two races where drivers didn't score points, because you can sit here and do the same thing with Max, being like, well, if he didn't hit George at Spain, he'd probably have, you know, 8 more points there. Okay, fine. If he didn't get wiped out in Austria by Kimi, then he would have had more points than 0, so he would have been even closer to Lando as is. Okay, all that given, he still does not have the results to be in front, considering what kind of car McLaren has produced for their drivers. With McLaren, they had a run-in in Canada, so that threw out the car, or one of their cars. Oscar lost control of the car in Australia. So that's a 9th place finish for him, where it should have been a podium easily right there. Then you go to Zandvoort. All right, Lando's engine blew, so you know that's on the team there. They didn't put an engine in that would last the rest of the race because Oscar finished first. Or took the win from there. Baku was, I will probably say Baku is similar to what Singapore was for Red Bull, where it's not their track. Fine. So, but Oscar not scoring points there, not great. He probably could have walked away with a handful, I'd say. Not that he was going to win, but you know, definitely a handful. Yeah. So that was his first real slip, and up until that point he went on an incredible run aside from the mess up at Australia. And then, I mean, from there, Lando's been on the podium each weekend with two wins in the previous two rounds, and mm-hmm. and Oscar's just been off the pace, but he's been finishing top five.
Yeah.
So from all this, well, where's the points loss? Well, you're double disqualifying or disqualification in Vegas. Like, that's, this is the points more or less. Cause with this, you now have Max within a race wins victory of taking over the championship lead.
Yeah.
So no, 100%. You do not have a buffer anymore. And even if you just want to look at the gap between Max to Oscar since the start of the, or since coming back from the summer break, he's gone from 104 points difference to now zero with Oscar. He's yep. level with Oscar. Like that is yep. the kind of run he's had. So
yeah, no, you're right.
With that said, like, Is Lando the favorite to win the title right now? Yes. Does that mean he will? I can't tell you 100% he will, because
no.
This has been too flip-floppy of a season to say that that's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
And I mean, if Oscar ends up having the better weekend of the two of them,
mm-hmm.
then even if say Max wins, right, and then Oscar finishes second and Lando finishes third,
yeah,
you now have all three guys in for the title into the last race. Yep.
Nope, 100%.
So it's because the best thing for McLaren is Lando outscores Piastri by 2 points.
Yep.
So that way Oscar can't win, and then you now can use Piastri. Like how Red Bull did with Perez in yep. 2021.
100%.
So, I mean, it's...
You're preaching to the choir.
Right. It's... If they want to do this for the entertainment of the sport and everything, I mean, they're making a hell of a story out of it, but, man, if they lose this...
Yep.
That is horrible.
That's the story, and it's going to look even worse.
Right. And honestly, like this title should have been wrapped up like 2 weekends ago, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. I don't know what's going on.
And again, this isn't to say that Max and Red Bull haven't had a great season in themselves. Like, they're challenging for the championship into these final rounds. Whereas, you know, going halfway into the season, you would have thought that it was over. And like Max said, he didn't even think he was going to win a race. Now, and then since then, he's won four.
Yeah.
So, and Max is... This is the other thing. If Max wins one more race, he's if Max wins one more race, he's tied with the McLaren drivers for total race wins on the season.
Oh,
and I saw a graphic where someone plotted out a championship outcome for the final rounds where
yeah.
it could mathematically happen that the top three tie at 410 points and Lando would win the title because of countback on number of second place wins.
Yep.
Like that would be the difference in the title.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, again, is any of this going to happen? No, but there is a possibility in which it does. So
it's just, you and I are just reveling in it. You know, I just find it, you know, I mean, this thing should have been wrapped up long ago. Okay. And it just gets back to the whole thing with, you know, Zach and his just friggin' ego and everything. And it's just ridiculous. But anyways, you know, if it screws up and Max wins, you know, I don't know. I really don't know what to say. I really don't. It, you know, where the blame lands, right at the top. It doesn't land with Andrea Stella and his team. It lands with Zach. He's ultimately the final decision maker. You know? Of course, if Lando wins, he'll be the first one. I told you we had this all under control. And it's like, dude.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't. You know, so, I mean, it's almost laughable, but anyways.
Yeah.
And
if they wanted to, man, I'd have to go back and look at the margin of victory or even the splits between the two of them of how they all got to these positions. But I mean, like, there's a few one position finishing order between the two drivers where you could just pull the team order and swap positions and you would have, you would just have your different outcome. It's really hard to make that argument for the last five races with how Piastri's form has gotten since then. But also, none of us know what's going on behind the scenes, so you know, who knows what's going on, and maybe if this championship unfolds the way it is right now, we'll have another book come out from Oscar, and maybe it's, you know, a Mark Webber 2.0 kind of situation. Yeah. You just don't know.
Yeah. Just so you know, the margin of victory today was 20 seconds.
Yeah, no, I just between the McLaren drivers.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So, like at Singapore, they finished third and fourth with Lando in front and Oscar in fourth. So, what was the time difference between the two? Could you have conceivably just told Lando to
understood.
Go back?
Understood. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But, anyways.
Because, for instance, like, at COTA, Mexico, and Brazil, and even Vegas, you were not in a position to tell Lando to switch with Piastri because Piastri was so far back it didn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So unless you were just completely bought in to the fact that this is how it's going to have to go.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't mind shuffling the points around that way just to see what it would look like right now and how you would go into the last couple rounds with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just take a quick look at the revised standings for the race. Max with the win. George unchanged, second place. Kimi goes from fifth to third. Charles comes up to fourth. Carlos started P3, finished P5. Well done. Isaac finished the started sixth. Oh no, wait a minute, sorry, what did he start? Doesn't say. Sorry. Isaac with a sixth place finish. The Hulk finished in seventh. Good points for Sauber today. Lewis dead last to eighth.
Yeah.
And Haas today gets to thank McLaren for the double disqualification, as that put both of their cars into the points.
Yeah.
Just awesome. Anyways. All right. Let's hold on. Let's see if we can find the, all right, here we go. Driver standings. Dun, 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 dun. All right, here we go. Lando, first place, 390. Second, Oscar, 366. Third, Max, 366. George at 294. He's out in terms of from here on down, no one has a chance. Because it's 58 points maximum. That's not going to get George enough. We have Charles Lewis, Kimi in seventh, Alexander Albon in eighth, Haja in ninth, Hulkenberg in 10th, but Carlos has snuck up to 11th. So he's threatening to break into the top 11.
I mean, Carlos could.
Yeah.
Carlos could
jump into the top 9th.
If he could get 9th by the end of the season, that would be really good for him.
Okay. So in the team championship, McLaren has it wrapped up. Mercedes, at this point, unless they double DNF on the way out, I think they have second place wrapped up. However, Red Bull has leapfrogged Ferrari. on the back of one driver.
Yeah, and
to 366 points for Max. The rest of the team has scored 25 points.
Yeah, and if, well, for the sake of the championship, I hope Ferrari is involved at the front of the field because it's just more cars to stack in between Max and
Leclerc. Yeah, it's just to cause more problems. Yeah.
So there's that. However, if Max does outpace them by 8 points? No, it surely can't be that. No, 18 points.
18, yeah.
Okay, something like that. If he can do like another 17, 18 points, he solely will have Red Bull third.
Yeah. All right. Williams is in fifth with 121. Racing Bulls, 90. And sixth, Haas with 73. So the battle here is between Haas, Aston, and Sauber for 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Yeah.
Alpine has got dead last locked up. All right.
Yeah.
So next up is next week in Qatar with a sprint race. So this is just going to get interesting.
Yeah. All right. Oh, wow.
But
Max won this Grand Prix or won Qatar last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Although, wait a minute. Lando was far off. I'm gonna have to go back and figure out why he was down there so far.
Yeah.
See that Abu Dhabi could be an interesting one.
Yeah.
100%. Because there is. I mean, Ferrari was closer. But I know Max ran into Piastri that round. So that kind of just wrecked both of their races.
Right. Right.
Man, it's going to be interesting. Oh, and next week they have this, they still have the tire distance limit that they can run. So I think it's only 25 laps that they can do.
Yeah.
It's still going to be like a mandatory two stop, but it'll be like a really short stint on probably the softs. If the softs could even last like 7 laps, I think. So we'll see. But
we shall see.
Yeah.
As they say. All right. Let's see. In the world of news and notes, for our female listeners out there, just want to let you know that there is a certain driver who is now off the market, having announced his engagement today. And the Red Mist podcast sends congratulations to one Jordan Taylor and his fiance Peyton.
I saw that. Congrats to Jordan.
Congrats to Jordan. And to Fonzie as well.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. In the world of sports cars, and the WEC side, Mick Schumacher will not be back with Alpine this year. Wonder where he's going.
Huh, yeah, interesting.
Over at, I will say this, I have to give the guys at Genesis, like, they have built a stacked team. So they finalized, obviously, last week, I think we had talked on Jamie Chadwick joining as the reserve driver. It was announced on Thursday morning that Matthew Jaminet, formerly of Porsche, and Paul-Luc Chatan, former Alpine driver, has joined their team as their hypercar, to finish out their hypercar drivers lineup. So that's quite a lineup that they have. So exciting for them.
Yeah, I mean, one manufacturer's garbage is another manufacturer's
there you go.
So
yep. Other than that, that's all I have. Well, the only other thing, I guess, is it doesn't look like Porsche is going to be back in WEC.
No.
So we'll continue to hope, but it does not look like it's going to happen.
I'm not going to make many more comments on it other than just the headline. Felipe Massa is getting his case going to trial.
Oh yeah, I saw that. So it's kind of weird. Anyways,
once that gets resolved, then I'll discuss it more. But I find that whole thing hilarious.
Yeah, one unfortunate thing that we forgot about today, since we are putting this together well before earlier than we typically do because of the holiday and stuff. We did not get Nate's picks for next week.
No. He did get his picks.
You do?
What are you talking about? All right.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
No, we're good.
Was it a late text that I missed?
Yes. He's in.
Okay.
He's all about the comeback, but he's got some interesting choices for who's gonna split Max in the McLaren. So we'll
got it.
Yeah,
got it. We'll discover it when we talk about the picks.
Exactly.
In a second.
All
right. Anything else?
Did we discuss George Kurtz? Acquiring Mercedes.
We may have alluded to it, but no. Go ahead.
So George Kurtz.
He's ahead of CrowdStrike.
Yeah, ahead of CrowdStrike, and also one of the amateur gentleman drivers in sports car racing.
Both in IMSA and ADA and in SRO.
Yeah, has acquired a minor stake in the Mercedes F1 team. So
he bought a stake from Toto.
Yes. Yeah. So just interesting note.
Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. And then.
Oh, we forgot something very obvious.
Which was?
And they had this Grand Prix followed out, you know, in a normal fashion. Congratulations to Dorian Penn.
Oh yeah.
Yep. F1 Academy driver with her her finish today. She didn't win. She finished second? No, third. Finished third. Because Maya Wagyu, who was her championship contender, finished second. And Chloe Chambers finished first. So Dorian with her finish today. She had a finish eighth or worse to lose championship. And I think Mia had a win the race. So, and that didn't happen. But anyways, congrats to her. I mean, she had a tough day yesterday in the sprint race, but you know, things happen, but you know, showed resilience in that. But Dorian with the big win claims the title. So good for her. Mm-hmm. He will not be back next year.
Right. Yeah, because once you win, you're done. Right?
You're done.
Is that how that works in this one?
You're done, or if you've done two full seasons, you're done.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you want to touch the NASCAR controversy?
No, let's save that.
Save that for the offseason.
I'm still catching up on this.
Okay.
I think
Nate, having Nate here too would be funny.
Yeah, it would help. Yeah, it would help. And because there is something else going on with, now there's something going on with the Spire team where they're kind of, you know. It's,
yeah. So I'm just looking at headlines and I'm like, I will say
in NASCAR news, what was confirmed over the week was that Project 91 will be back.
Oh, that's good.
But the key there is they've said that with the added revenue that they're getting from, of all places, Red Bull, it's now helped them to potentially establish, you know, run some more races this year.
Cool.
Does that mean that one Max Verstappen could run?
Well, what are they, a Ford team or are they a Chevy team?
They're Toyota.
No, they're not, are they?
Yeah. Are they Chevy? Maybe they're Chevy.
No, they're Chevy.
They're Chevy.
Yeah.
I don't know if Max will be back if he can run a Chevy.
Well, I don't know.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about? He didn't run a Ford at the Nürburgring. So
no, he didn't. And to further this point, like it's not like, you know, Penske or Ganassi runs the same manufacturer from series to series. So
yeah,
as long as that doesn't as long as that's not a contractual thing, then
yeah,
go do whatever he wants. But yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be cool. But anyways, good to see you. Hopefully that program is back. It's I always find it interesting. Other than that, that's all I have.
Yeah.
Instead of making our picks,
the only thing I do want to add is to the Vegas Grand Prix, like championship drama aside, I think this race is really cool. The race itself, the whole event is a different story.
But yes, the race is good.
Yeah,
but yes, the event is lacking.
And I mean, granted, we might hear some more stories from our on-the-ground reporting.
Right,
next
week's hopefully.
Next week episode that we might be able to add into this. However, one thing that we totally glossed over is qualifying was wet, and that I thought that was really cool, and like for it, one of the few times you could actually get a good sense of the speed these guys were going on this track.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
You get a sense of speed from just watching it on TV. Like, the shot of the cars coming out of the slow corner at the end of the strip and the run down to the start finish straight, like that little kink there right at the end, like that is one of the coolest corners. Like, and I know it's very simple, but man, the speed that they carry down there is just really impressive. And then
the corner that I like is actually 17, where they come in and they go sort of downhill and then uphill.
That's the one at the end of the straightaway, right?
It's coming, onto the pit straight.
Coming on. Is that the last corner or the one right at the end of the strip?
It's the last corner.
Oh, the very last corner. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. That little kink there.
Oh, all right.
Through. Sorry. I think
it's a great corner.
Yeah, and then also just the little left right or the right left section. You get it slowed down and then you're trying to speed back up to when you're starting that last straight before the last turn there. Like everyone was just sliding and moving the car side to side. Like the camera positioning there is great. And you really get to see the driver work hard for it.
100%.
I think my only complaint with this track is turn one. Just because I think it would be better if it was more of like a hairpin than the speed that you can carry through. But what makes up for it is what I think hampers it a little bit is the fact that there's so little grip on the inside line. Really just anywhere off the racing line with this track, because they only race this thing at this time of year. So no rubber is ever being laid down. And it makes the starts exciting because you get exactly what we got this year, and then even last year, like you had Matt, or maybe not last year, but the year before, but where Max just drove Leclerc off the track, because it's like, well, he doesn't have grip, but he does in a sense. It is interesting for sure, but as the race goes on, it's like, okay, you don't have a passing opportunity into one. If you do, like, you're really sending it in there, and it's very low percentage move. Like, your best move is three, which is the right-hander when you enter the sphere section. Or maybe that's four. And then you go from that, and then it's pretty much either the end of the strip or maybe the corner before you get onto the strip. And even this, that little S section before where you come out of, you pass the sphere and then you turn left to go
left.
Just the road before that you get to the strip.
You turn left behind, you're going behind the sphere.
Yes.
And then you turn left and you're going along the side of the sphere towards So what happens there is you're going along the outside of the sphere where the main entrance is from the outside. And then it also is what they call the bridge at the Venetian, which leads to the sphere if you go through the Venetian, only because I've been out there just recently. And then you go, now you're coming along the side of the Venetian, the outer side of the property. Yeah. And then you come to that corner where it's kind of a tough little corner.
Yeah.
Even in dry conditions, that wall, you could impact the wall there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn and then just rock it down the strip. But yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I hope Vegas succeeds, because I think the race itself is great. And even watching the race unfold, like,
yeah,
the whole field was pretty much more or less together for most part of the race. It wasn't until cars started to falter where the gaps widened up. So, and I know it's, you know, it's tough because, like, everyone's running close together, but no one's able to make a pass because of the DRs and whatnot. But, like, you're able to do that because there is so little aero wash or dirty air with how trimmed out these cars are. So it is a lot more mechanical grip at that aspect, which is,
yeah,
it makes for this kind of exciting race when you have it. But also, like, the length of the strip alone shows you just how powerful the draft is, even without DRS. Mm-hmm. So, like, again, it's cool how fast they're going on a street track like that. So, and also I thought the wet qualifying session was probably one of the best ones to watch. And it was just because you got to see drivers more or less learn a track for the first time, and who was able to pick speed up the quickest, and who could figure it out after a mistake or two and put it together to get it up there. So, but yeah, now we move on to Qatar.
Yep.
And I guess at this point we shall do our picks and then wrap it up. So, Nate has gone with Max to win.
Ooh.
And then he's gone with Lewis finishing second. And then Hadjar.
Ooh.
On third. So
with his
dark horse being Lance Stroll. So he's got something crazy going on there. Do you have your picks for the race?
The what? My picks? Yeah. Yes. All right. I'm going to go Max. I'm just going based on pure hunger.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to go. I'm going to go George second. And I am going to go Shell third. My dark horse will be, I'm gonna go Ollie.
All right.
That's what I'm gonna go with.
I'm gonna go Russell to win.
Ah, like that.
Well, one, it pains me to do that. Two,
no, I know.
I don't want to be the reason we and give Max the kiss of death, because that's picking.
Yeah, him no, buddy. But it's realistic that George. You know, it's realistic. Kimmy could win too, but I don't want to go there this year. If this was next year, I would definitely go there.
I'm gonna put Lando second and Max third. So I'm not doubting Max. I'm just trying not to put a curse on him. I don't want to do that.
Just being devil's advocate there. Yeah. That's fine. You're playing a conservative. I like it.
Yeah. Dark horse for this week. Alonso. Because
Fred.
We're back in the Middle East, so maybe the Aston's got something to stir up. So
see what happens.
He was looking good in Vegas.
Yep.
And then they just it didn't come together in the end, but
no.
I don't know what it is about that Aston. They seem to be, sorry, let me rephrase this. Alonso seems to be really strong in qualifying, but then the race comes and then it just slides.
Yeah, they can't get it. Yeah. They can't get it to get race paces in there.
Yeah. So,
but also, I will say this. I mean, I don't know. Newey's not really. This isn't. He's not involved in this right now. He's probably helping a little bit, but.
Yeah, I'm sure he's involved in some way, but I get your point. He's probably focused on 26 right now.
Right. So that's where I think he is.
Yeah, which totally fine. Like I am right there with Aston. Like if they can pull something out of the bag and Alonso's at the front of the field, like all chips are in. Like I want that one to happen.
Yep. Yep, 100%. 100%.
Because again, like, I guess this is a separate thing, but like, going into this past weekend, I was thinking that Ocon was having kind of a quiet season where like he just. Wasn't
he's really... sort of been traveling under the radar.
Yes, yeah, and it's like he's not slow, but he is getting outpaced by Behrman.
Yeah, recently.
Yes, but still, like you're getting outpaced by your rookie teammate. So
yep,
it's just a look, but it's not like he's getting. Completely blasted, but he's just under the radar, and I think that's an okay place to be, because it's not like you're having to sit there and justify your existence in the team,
right?
Like Tsunoda at Red Bull,
yep.
or even Colapinto at Alpine, and I know Alpine's had a horrid season, but I mean, his biggest thing right now is he hasn't scored a point.
Yeah.
And everyone else has. So, and I know he's had a couple of races where he's finished ahead of Pierre, and but I mean, it's the zero on the points total is becoming. It's something that's just really hanging over him right now. And
yeah,
it's, again, I'm not looking at Alpine's performance week in, week out, but I mean, looking at just race finishes, like he's more often than not Gasly's ahead, but it's not like he's ahead every single race. So there are some weekends where Pierre is finishing behind Colapinto, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's also hard to quantify that criticism too, where it's just like the car is crap, like, and everyone knows it,
right?
So,
yeah.
But yeah. All right. Well, with all that said,
anyways,
we can go on to Qatar for next week. Note. And
yep.
I don't have any other race. Oh, I'm sorry. Supercars are at Adelaide next weekend.
That's the finale.
Yes. Gotcha. Also, Super Formula was their season wrapped up this weekend. I need to go back and watch those because I looked at the final standings and they were not what I was expecting. So.
Oh, all right. So we'll have to dig into that and find out what happened there.
Yeah. All right.
All right. And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.